So you were living where? In Victoria?
No, Vancouver.
Oh, the Department of Agriculture was there,
yes,
then, was it?
Yes. Well, Dad's part was there. He was, Mr. Cunningham was, he was a member of Parliament at that time, and he was an old friend of the family. And Dad was down in, we were in California, and he had been, he had an orchard, a prune, an apricot orchard down in the Santa Clara Valley.
Oh, yeah.
And he'd gone to Stanford and got his...
But he was a Canadian.
Well, he was English.
Oh, I see.
He came out
yeah.
from England and as a young man went to the Turner Valley and had a ranch there. But when he married Mother, he sold it because Mother was one of these petite little people who wouldn't take kindly to an Indian coming to the door at any old time. So they were married and they went to California, and that's where I was born.
Oh, I see.
And then Mr. Cunningham sent for Dad to come up and join the Department of Agriculture because of his knowledge. He'd been trained and he'd gone to Stanford University. And he was Mr. Cunningham's assistant, and right, and then he was with the department until he died.
Oh.
Retired. Mutton. Yeah.
What was his field, Dorothy?
Well, he was at that time he was entomologist, plant pathologist, and anything of all the general knowledge that he had to have. And he was known as the chief inspector of imports and exports.
Oh.
And Vancouver was a small port.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so then as the department grew, that was all divided up and they had their different departments. And Mr. James was in Victoria, and he had had horticulture training in England, and so he was put on as a fruit inspector, because that was the time they were there were orchards all in Vancouver Island and on Salt Spring. And then the so that was how I met Jack.
Oh. Well, when were you married? After the war?
Oh, yes, after the war. 1922.
Oh, yeah.
Then James went to James Island.
Mm-hmm.
And he was with
Oh, that's named after you, after
no,
the James Town.
It was St. James Club in Victoria had bought this island and had it as, and they turned it into an island farm. And Jack's father was responsible for planting it and organizing it. And they had quite a few
Well, they must have. Did they were mainly orchard or
well,
or
they
animals?
Had an orchard, and then they grew strawberries. I have a lot of pictures.
Oh, well, was Norman Wilson over there at one time? Did he work over there?
Not that I know of.
No, I heard that they at one time he was there.
Well, he may have been, but I don't know what because that was we used to. Go and visit during the summertime.
Oh, what a lovely place.
And And then in the, it was taken over by the CIL.
During the war?
During the war.
Oh.
And the James moved, bought Parker Island.
Well, did he go on with his job with the government, or did he?
No, he had to that job. But Dad used to get him to go on the judging.
Oh yeah.
Groups.
Uh-huh. Sort of on contract.
Well, no, but he was judging at the fairs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you didn't actually yourself live at Barnsbury because they left the year you were married.
Yes, they sold Parker Island in 1917.
Did they find they were just too far from the markets, or?
Well, at that time, it was during the war,
mm-hmm.
and Jack was in the Navy,
mm-hmm.
and it was and Fred had. He'd been to the Arnold Arboretum for training.
Oh, happy.
And so they had a start at the nursery and seed growing
mm-hmm.
over on Parker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so then they had to have space.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So at that time, Norman Wilson rented.
Mm-hmm.
Barnsbury to them.
Was he still? Had he still? He was still actively farming it at that time, though. Was he?
Mm-hmm.
Was Norman still actively farming the property?
Well, Norman during the war. I don't know exactly, but I know they were living at Wellbury,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and then.
So there probably weren't any animals at Barnsbury by then. He might have just been running sheep.
There were cows and sheep.
Oh, there were.
Not sheep, but no, I think they belonged to the James.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
Whatever
mm-hmm.
they were there.
Mm-hmm.
And
then he asked for it back in 22, did he?
Yes, he wanted it in 22. So then. And the water was a problem there. It was, you know, just wells.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And, so then they went out and rented the Fernwood farm from Mr. Lang.
Well, did they have lots of water there? Or did they have salt water?
They had salt water.
Oh, dear.
And, but they did dry farming. It was the horses, and never stop pulling machines for
mm-hmm.
cultivating
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and keeping a dust mop.
Yeah, yeah.
And, so then in 1930 they had become quite a big seed business
mm-hmm.
by that time. They had a big mail order.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted more land and more
mm-hmm.
arable land,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and so they bought the Corfield farm at College
of
Bay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I met one of the Corfields here last year.
Oh,
which
one?
I can't remember her name. They were old friends of the Bing Halls, and they came over to see Betty and Bing Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I grew up. My uncle worked for Corfields in Courtney because
yes.
one of the boys had a gas station up
yes.
there for years. So, and of course, my parents both came from Duncan. Mm-hmm. But my grandfather was there when the James were there, but my mother's family had left.
Mm-hmm.
They left in, I think, about 1916. Hmm. So, how they were. How long were they at the Lang's property?
In
22?
Well, in 1930.
Oh, so 8 years there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They went over, the moving truck went over on the first ferry from Fulford to Swartz Bay.
Oh, yeah.
And,
So where were you living?
Which house were you in?
Well, we built a bungalow on the Lang farm for ourselves.
Is it still there?
I think it is.
That would be the Harkema property now.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. I don't know whether they've done away with it now. But and then we just had the two girls there about Mary.
Were they born at the hospital?
They were born at the old hospital.
Oh yeah. No, that's where I used to work. Who was your doctor? Was it Dr. Sutherland?
Dr. Sutherland.
Oh, yeah.
She was wonderful.
I had quite a chat with Joan Milner about her the other day, because Mrs. Milner, Mrs. Hardy, Joan's mother.
Yes, I knew her.
And they went to school together.
Yes.
And then she came over and lived for 3 years with Dr. Snow.
I remember her with Dr. Sutherland.
Well, do you remember Dr. Sutherland's husband, or was he dead?
Oh, yes, very much.
Oh.
Because he used to drive her everywhere.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
He didn't drive.
He was a very handsome man.
Well, he was never well, was he? He died of TB.
I know he wasn't well. But he looked healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved Dr. Sutherland. A lot of people didn't like her. She was so abrupt.
Well, I think a lot of it had to do with her deafness, maybe.
Oh, yes. She was, but she was very kind. And Mary had whooping cough, which developed to pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to nurse her through that. And I had Dr. Sutherland got me to keep a record of her coughing and what she would eat, and then she got to the point, you know, she couldn't eat because she just coughed everything up.
That's right. They're so apt to starve to them.
So I would feed her just by spoonfuls to try and keep her down. And it was in midwinter, and the snow was high, and Dr. Sutherland used to come out and see, but she said she never expected Mary to pull through.
Well, they so often starved to death in those days.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
they eat and then hoop
well,
and eat and then
saved
hoop.
Her, Mr. The rector at the time in the Flint.
It might have been Flinton.
Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. He said, you know, I have goats.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps she could keep some goat milk down because it's a small curd.
Mm-hmm.
And so he kept us supplied with goat's milk, and from then on I'd give her a teaspoon at a time and got into her. And there was a turning point.
Isn't that wonderful?
And but I don't know where I kept this record. They're foolscap sheets.
Yeah.
And there's an item on it about every 15 minutes.
Oh,
day.
Well, some mothers used to send them to the hospital because they'd get so exhausted. The mothers would have other children to look after, but would be up all night with these children.
Yeah.
It was a tragic disease. And people now don't realize what a tragic disease it could be.
Oh, it's dreadful.
Just watch them starving to death.
I got it myself. I've never had it, and I got it.
Oh, dear.
And I was nursing her. I had a temperature of 104. And I
was she your only child at the time?
Val was just, she was just about, she was just starting to walk.
Oh.
And Dr. Sutherland said, don't let her get well, as if I could stop it.
Yes.
She did, she hooped a couple of times, and that was it.
Oh, that's good.
She was always such a healthy person.
Well, that was lucky. But you did go to the hospital. You didn't have the babies at home.
No, I was at the hospital. Mm. You stayed there 2 weeks.
Oh, and
and I remember the...
Who was the matron then? Do you remember? Miss Ross or Miss Simpson Maurer?
What was her name? She was awful nice. Oh, the first time
It changes hands a great deal in the 20s.
Yes. I forgot her name now. And Miss Bettis was a nurse at that time.
Oh, was she at the hospital?
Yes.
I want to find out her sister. I guess it's her sister, Mrs. Justice in Victoria.
Oh, yeah, Irene Justice.
Yeah, was she her sister or her niece?
I don't know. I know there were.
I remember meeting DC once.
Yes.
I don't know where DC trained. Whether it was down at St. Joe's or.
Well, with Margaret, no. Margaret Cunningham, no.
Margaret might. Mary England.
Or Mary, yes. Mary would probably.
Yeah.
Funny enough, going to Toronto one year on the CNR, there was a woman and her son on board, and we got talking, and you know, we were saying where we come from. And she said, well, I came from Salt Spring. I was, her name was Bettis.
Oh, for goodness sake.
And I was telling Margaret about it afterward, and apparently it was a cousin.
Oh, yeah, there was also, Mrs. Bettis adopted a child. And Mrs. Stevens, who had the boarding house that the Cunninghams are in, she adopted a sister. The mother died and left two little girls. And one of them was adopted by Mrs. Bettis and the other by Mrs. Stevens. Eva Jenkins. I don't know what was the name. And she was the mother of Jimmy Stevens, who lives in Ganges now. You know Jimmy Stevens?
No. I met Justin. I came across a notebook I kept of that trip.
Oh.
And I was just reading it the other day. It was quite fresh in my mind.
We spot it.
Yes, I don't waste any more time.
When you were at Duncan or the Corfields, did you ever meet the Simpsons?
Mm-hmm.
The Simpsons who had the Alpine Nursery on Cowichan Lake?
Yes, we were up there.
Oh, were you?
Yes, at their place. I remember spending a day there.
See, my parents bought that nursery.
Oh.
And then took it up island to Royston.
Oh, yes. No, that was a fascinating
place. Yeah. Unfortunately, somebody just did a history of Duncan and they left her out. Which is too bad.
Well, when the Norcross, Norcross made a history of she never mentioned the James.
Did this Memories Never Lost or the James in that one? It came out, it's a green book, it came out about 4 years ago.
What was the title?
Memories Never Lost.
No, I don't know that.
I'll read it.
Who was the author?
Well, it was a group that edited it, Historical Society. But do you remember Jack and Shirley Green, who lived here? No, you wouldn't have known them when they were here.
No, I...
Mr. Baston, the Anglican minister, who was here really in the early days, before you came, that was Shirley's father.
And she's
a big, plucker, lovely person. They lived here after the war for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, have they been back here recently?
Probably. He comes to the Historical Society occasionally because his grandfather was a surveyor that did a lot of Salt Spring in the 1870s. And that's Jack, her husband.
Because
and
I
they're an old Duncan family. So I'll check them. They were very instrumental in that book. It might have been before that time. It maybe only went up to the First World War. I can't remember.
Well, it was 1930.
Mm-hmm.
We went over there. Mm-hmm. And then they were there until they left during the war.
Well, they probably couldn't get help.
Well, they had the whole Buckfields took it after Jack tried to join up again,
mm-hmm.
and he did get in. He'd been in the Navy before, but they mm-hmm. he was too old.
Yeah.
So he did get into the motorboat section of the Air Force.
Oh yeah.
And then he had a breakdown. I knew mm-hmm. he was heading for this mm-hmm. because he was a workaholic.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
He had an awful breakdown after when he got into the Air Force. So he was invalided out. And then he went, by this time, see, he had been salesman for the firm.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the war and that kind of thing, everything, you know, contracts and everything were upset. So Buckfield bought it from
mm-hmm.
and so Jack worked with Buckfield, and he was put on the for them to grow seeds for the British Ministry of Food.
Oh yeah.
And so this is when we moved to West Van, and Vancouver was our headquarters, but the whole province was his territory.
Oh.
Because he had to find, they had these huge contracts from Britain mm-hmm. and they were working with Washington as well, and they got these contracts all over the province wherever the different crops would grow.
Yeah.
So it meant we had to drive in those days with the roads were anything but there were trails, particularly that Fraser Canyon.
Oh.
And so we had the whole of the went up through the Caribou and in the Okanagan
mm-hmm.
and the Kootenays, and so we got to know the province pretty well.
That would be fun.
And so at the end of the war, they wanted him to the BC Vegetable Marketing
mm-hmm.
Board
mm-hmm.
in Kelowna. Wanted him to join them as their agriculturist,
mm-hmm.
so that's what we did, and that's it. And we were there until he had to give up through ill health.
Well, I remember you telling me one time that you really hated to come back to Salt Spring.
I did.
Had you not had a happy time here?
Salt Spring was so different then.
Yeah.
You know, conditions were different. And there were a lot of people who were intolerant, and unless you were spoke with this dreadful English accent, which they
you sound like my mother-in-law.
they hadn't lived in England.
Oh,
you know, they were their parents were born out mm-hmm. here, but they still had this awful accent. And then after you living Vancouver life and I look back, it was pretty gay in another sense of words.
Oh. Well, the Wilsons included.
And and then when I was tied down, we had when Jack and I were first married, we were in the Major Turner's place.
Oh, were you?
Yes.
Well, where were the Turners?
And they had a reason we took it. Oh, because the Turners were up in the Windermere.
Oh.
Before they had, he was in charge of a resort or something or other up there.
Oh, yeah.
And so we saw a lot of the Turners before I was married. And so they thought that this would be a good place for a home for us.
Oh.
It was. And then the Turners came back, and so we went out to the, built this place out.
Well, did Jack have a car to go all the way out there?
We had no transportation. We walked.
So he walked there to work every day?
Yes, or else he'd get a horse and buggy. They had horses out there, but you know, I used to drive when we.
Oh, did you?
Yes. Well, I had driven when in California. My father was quite a horseman.
Mm-hmm.
In England, they'd had horses
belonged
to hunt clubs and all the rest of it. My grandfather was master of the hunt, and so I was used to horses.
Mm-hmm.
And but they wouldn't let me ride. There was a nice riding horse there, but they used this team of horses for cultivating.
Oh, yeah.
So they didn't want me to ride. They were afraid of my ride.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which was crazy because I knew.
Well, how long were you in Turner's house?
Well, we were there Mary was she wasn't two when we left there.
So that's where the house where you were when she had the whooping cough?
No, we were out in Fernwood.
In our
very poorly built house.
Oh, yeah. Had Jack built it, or?
Mm. Was it built? They had a mill, as was the, at that time, they built it from scraps they found on the beach, and iron bolts and logs and whatever have you. But the two younger boys, Jim and Harry, were real mechanics.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
And they built this mill.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were cutting, as on a side, they were cutting ties for Singer.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
Oh, because there were a lot of Singer mills here for
yes,
a while there.
There were.
I didn't realize. Well, how would you get those to market, to down to the wharf?
Well, they shipped the Singer looked after that.
Oh, he came and picked them up at the farm.
Yes, it was all taken care of.
Well, did most of the farmers, if they could, were they either cutting shakes or ties?
Well,
they
anything to augment their income, because there was nothing.
Just otherwise, to bring a cash profit.
You made your own way.
That's right. Well, do you remember things being pretty tough financially at that time here?
Yes, very tough.
Yeah.
And
well, were they tougher than they were when you got to Duncan at the height of the Depression?
Well, it was better. We were better off in Duncan because when we bought the farm, we had the government had helped us buy the Corfield farm.
Because Jack was a veteran?
No.
Oh.
No, he didn't. He had thought of taking up a veteran's place.
Yeah.
But then they wanted him to. It goes into rather unhappy family relations.
Mm.
Jack gave up all his privileges they might have had to help the family.
Mm-hmm. But you did feel financially you were better off when you left the island, in spite of it being the worst depression later.
Well, when we left the island, well, it was when we got over there, we at least had some money to work with to establish the, because they had to build a seat house, an office, and a house.
Well, did you get a vehicle then, the farm?
Mm-hmm. Oh, we had a car then.
Yeah.
Yes, a Hupmobile.
Oh. Well, had you had the Hupmobile out of Salt Spring?
No, no.
Oh, okay.
But I had my parents had given me a car at the last. They used to bring it over from Vancouver and during the summer,
mm-hmm.
and then they let me have it, and I could get back and forth to Vancouver, which was.
Which of the CPR's boats would be taking you over then, Dorothy? Do you remember?
Well,
the Mary.
I started out coming over when we came to. Parker.
Mm-hmm.
We used to come over to Parker
mm-hmm.
for the holidays with
mm-hmm.
the James.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one boat we came over on was the Queen City.
Mm-hmm. I remember you telling me that, yeah.
And then the Otter replaced that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Island Princess. And then the Mary used to come in the I've forgotten exactly
the one
that's
what it is, yeah.
And the Charmer.
Oh, lovely old Charmer.
And the Royal.
The Princess Royal, yeah.
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 Those were the boats.
No, I wrote to CPR the other day to see if they had any of the old schedules.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have to have the car lifted onto the deck, or?
No. On the, I forget which one was it. But I remember they had put two planks on from the wharf
mm-hmm.
to the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And about this wide,
mm-hmm.
and I had to drive on.
I would have made them. But was that going down that ramp that's still
going
there?
Going down that ramp,
yeah.
Yes. And then the boards were there. And I remember driving at the with Val. I'd have one of the children, one was a baby, and
mm-hmm.
Val was a baby. So, but otherwise we had, by that time we had a Maxwell truck on the farm, on a hard
mm-hmm.
rubber tire.
I guess the roads were pretty awful too, weren't they?
Yes. Yeah. And very narrow,
mm-hmm.
of course,
mm-hmm.
and muddy.
Mm-hmm.
Ruts.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, sheep were allowed all over the road.
Well, I remember we always put our cows on the road.
Yeah.
Every morning, yeah. And Dad went to work. Because there was good grass on the edge of the road. Well, were you farming too, as well as doing the seeds? And when you were on Salt Spring?
No, it was straight
yeah.
seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they did have another asset. They had Mr. Lang had this had the cattle,
oh,
but
yeah.
we looked after the. He had a herd there.
They a dairy herd
a
or
dairy
a
dairy herd?
Oh yeah.
They were about 14
mm-hmm.
cows to milk. I think in those days they had to be milked. There wasn't a milking
yeah.
machine.
Yeah. And the milk got to the creamery once, or
yes,
yeah.
mm-hmm. yes.
Well, that was part of the deal when you rented the place, was it? That you would look after the cattle?
Yes. Well, we took over the whole. We just
okay.
took over the farm, and.
Well,
and
where did the Langs go?
Well, they stayed in their house.
Oh.
And the James were in that other house, a new house
mm-hmm.
that had been built. It was new at that time,
mm-hmm.
and a very nice plastered house.
Mm-hmm.
It had a huge fireplace, and I was sorry to see that they had just let that go.
Oh, have they?
Yes, old years ago when we first came back, I was just sick when I went out to
you should never go back.
I wanted to go out there.
Yeah.
And, they had just let everything go. It was just dreadful. And the Lang's house.
Well, who had it after you left, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Who had it after you left?
The
Harkimers didn't come.
The Mackenzies had it.
Oh, that's right. Well, he let the creamery go too, didn't he?
Yeah, well, I think he was the one who started that go, because that farm was in beautiful condition when
mm-hmm.
we were there.
Mm-hmm.
No,
he had a farm manager, Eric and Joy. And Eric's father was with the ministry. And I thought they went up to Kelowna after that. I can't think of their name. A very nice young couple, but he was working for Mr. Mackenzie. And I'm sure he would have known them.
Well, I don't know. After we left...
But you would have known them in Kelowna.
Oh, in Kelowna.
Although you came here about then.
Well, now, when would they have been there?
They were there when, I would say 48. He managed it for a few years.
Yes, well, I wouldn't have known them there, no. Because in 48 we were over in, we were up in Kelowna. Because we were in West Van from 41 to 46.
Oh.
And there is, in 46 we built a home in Kelowna.
Mm-hmm.
And we were there 14 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was a shame that Mackenzie let it go.
Yes, it was, apparently they had, the neighbors thought the Mackenzies were wonderful people.
Well, that had been the old Booth farm, hadn't it?
Yes.
And then before
it
had been
Mrs. Griffiths.
Yeah, it had been Griffiths and Brin.
That's
right, because Griffiths and Brin had had it before, mm-hmm. and started the orchard.
Yes.
Were there any of those old trees left when you were there?
Oh yes, there were a lot. There was a wonderful orchard there.
Yeah.
And
because those trees go back right to the beginning of Salisbury.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
They were among the first trees planted.
Mm-hmm. Because there was a store out there. And he sold nursery produce.
Yes, the first nursery.
Yeah, Mr. Beggs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think actually it was Beggs, and then Griffiths and Brin bought it from Begg.
Mm-hmm.
And then Griffiths and Brin, it was taken over by Mrs. Griffiths when her husband died, and
yes,
and then she remarried.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether the land, I think the Lees bought it, somebody by the name of L-E-G-H from the Booths.
I don't know.
And then probably the Langs bought it from the Lees.
Because
There's a funny little thing in Mr. Wilson's story about Mrs. Lee being a very odd lady. She goes about with a cross-cut saw over her shoulder.
By the way, when is that book coming out?
Well, our first draft, we've done...
No, I mean the one about the Wilsons.
Oh, I don't know. That's Tony Farr doing that.
Yeah, I know.
And I think he got in with the wrong publisher. I don't know. I would have...
Well, I know I paid for mine.
I think a lot of people did. I don't... I can't believe...
Well, I was asking Tony the other day about it. Oh, and he said it was coming.
Well, you know, he was having trouble with his photographer, so I got this Shirley Greenover, who had been Shirley Baston. And she was a photographer in the Air Force, and I knew she had done all the photographs for this book on Ed Duncan. So she got all that straightened away, but I can't think what's holding him up now. But I think he just didn't pick a good publisher or a good editor or something.
Mm-hmm.
When you have the nursery or the seed farm, do you have much trouble with deer?
Where?
Up at the north end, or
No, we had no problems with deer.
You didn't? Did you have dogs?
There were some around, there was a shooting, but they were all down at the south end.
They were, eh?
And we had no pheasants were our, pheasants and crows were our chief.
What about blue jays? Were they a problem?
Yes, to a point, when it came to certain crops.
Yeah, but they were more into nuts anyway.
Yeah, I remember, well, when we were living in the Turner place, I remember they were... there were two or three king apple trees there, and just a load of them, and these wretched jays had come and peck.
They wouldn't keep.
Yes.
Well, there used to be a bounty on them here, apparently.
On
the blue jays, yeah.
Oh, well, because when we first came back here, I didn't see any blue jays. Mm-hmm. But they're back again now.
Oh, yes. I had a nut tree.
Well, I do this this year. They get after the walnuts. Of course, the crows get after them too.
Mm-hmm,
But they talk about blue jays when the Greens were living over here. Do you remember Sydney and Paula Green?
Yeah.
They were living over where Doris Nickleborough lives.
Mm-hmm.
And Sydney went out one day and found a pile of walnuts under a tree over on their place, and apparently this blue jay had been taking them from here, because this was the only bearing nut tree.
For goodness sake. Well, somebody said you grew seeds around Vesuvius, too.
Well, we contracted the seeds when we were living here, because...
This was after when you came back in the...
No, this was early. Well, when the reason we bought this place was because, yes, they had, the James had contracted seeds, growing seeds out, and this was one of the places they grew a crop.
Was this when they were at Wilson, at Barnesbury, or at North End?
No, when they were at Fernwood.
Oh, yeah. Any other places they contracted out to?
Oh, I've forgotten there were places, but they didn't have to do too much. But this was one. There were pictures of this one. It's all just a field.
Oh, well, did you eventually buy it from the Bittencourts or
what?
This property here.
Oh no, this property has been.
I know the Ingleses had the point. Did they?
Well, they had from the gate down here.
Oh, yeah.
The whole point.
Mm-hmm.
That when we first came in.
Oh, yeah.
About 1916, about 17 was the first year we were here.
Mm-hmm.
And Mother used to rent the...
One of the cottages out
there. The cottage down here that Miss Mills owned at the time.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this property wasn't
part of the Heineke's, was it at all?
No, it was all divided up.
Oh.
The Chaplains owned this. They had a registered ROP chicken farm.
Oh yeah.
And grew raised Plymouth rocks, barred rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to ship, he had quite a business here, and he used to ship a lot of all over.
The chicks, not the eggs.
Chicks. And then in 17, there was this other little cottage that was moved later.
Oh,
it was. Richie moved it.
Oh, yeah.
Up on the hill here. And that was moved up there when the Pikes wanted to build here.
Mm-hmm.
But before that cottage, the Heineke's were living in it.
Oh,
when
yeah.
When he first came back, it was from the war. She, Ruth's mother was a war bride.
Mm-hmm. An English woman.
Yeah. And I remember Ruth and her sister, the cutest little tots, with these bright red cheeks and dark Dutch cut hair. Yeah. And this place here was on a field, and where this house is, where the Frasers are, it was all just a rock and dry grass.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister and I used to use a board and
slide down.
Never did I dream we'd ever live here with a garden.
Well, it's amazing what you can do. Was there much of a garden, can you remember, at Barnsbury by then?
Yes, they had lovely. Yeah. There was a lovely garden there.
She was a good gardener.
Yes, no, the end. Well, Mrs. Wilson was a gardener.
Oh, yeah. Lovely person.
Yes, she was.
Can't think why she ever married Norman. Mm-hmm. I can't think why she ever married Norman.
No, it's so different.
Yeah. Anyway, I must be getting home and let you get on with your lunch.
No, it's nice to have a chat with you.
Well, it's, you know, there's so much rubbish around about the island.
Oh, I know.
And it's just so silly to get it incorrectly when there's still people around that can straighten it out.
Yeah, I know.
I was talking to Ruth and Iris about the Bittencourt, and she said, I don't know who started this silly rubbish about dower houses. I said, they weren't dower houses, they were for rent, so they could make a bit of money.
Well, apparently the first star we heard, they built it for, they had them for his daughters.
Well, I know the Lairds, the old Lairds, Colonel and Mrs. Laird, who were Don Laird's grandparents.
Yes.
They rented one of them, probably 1906, while their house was being built across the canal. And I think, you know, again, it was just any way to make an extra, you know, little cash crop.
Yeah. Well, that was it, there was no government.
No, I remember when my parents started, I had an ice cream parlor on our front porch, and, you know, there was always something to try and make some money.
Well, what's happened to all your mothers?
Well, most of them, you see, she had sold. When my dad was not well in 65, they sold most of the nursery to the city of Vancouver.
Yes.
And so most of it is in Van Dusen or at Stanley Park. But she kept all her stock plants. And then when she was getting well up in her 80s and they were getting really beyond her, she invited UBC and UVic. Oh, and she had given 1,000 plants to UBC before that.
Yes.
She invited them at UBC first because she preferred them. To take anything they wanted. So they came in and took out a lot, probably 10, 15 years ago. And then UVic could have anything they wanted. And the rest are still there. They're largely...
Someone in charge of it?
No, it's been sold now. They were largely unknown hybrids because when they first started importing from Britain in the 30s, they would have all been pollinated without doing hand pollinating, so that they were nearly all turned out to be crosses.
Yeah.
And they would wait 10, 15 years for this wonderful white rhododendron to bloom, and it would come out pink. And so that they found that in England they weren't at that time hand pollinating and then putting bags over the blooms and everything, so that everything was untrue, so that a lot of those are still there. Some of them are very good, but they are definitely crosses. They're not what they were bought as.
Well, when you think of all the hundreds of varieties there are.
Oh, yeah. Well, what she did mostly and what she enjoyed doing mostly, my mother, was buying wild collected seed from the big rhododendron expeditions and then growing her own things from seed, and then she knew they were true. But even then, there was a lot of variation, even in the wild.
Yeah.
And she would maybe grow 40 of a Thompsoni or something, and she would just keep maybe three of the best.
Yeah.
And the rest of them she would put down on the road to let anybody that picked up that wanted them. And of course, there was she said usually the cows ate them because nobody wanted them. But, no, there's some lovely old things in the garden, but it's really a very little interest, except there's a wonderful great big Acer grisium. It's supposed to be the biggest in BC. And that's
just
with a lovely...
Where was your mother's place?
It was about 4 miles south of Courtney in Royston.
Oh.
They were right on the water, so that when they bought this nursery of the Simpsons, which was an alpine nursery, which was what they both really liked, they just had a terrible time. It was too... Carrington Leader, Saturday, August 5, 1905. CPR officials and party passed through Duncan on Wednesday evening train. The party consisted of Superintendent Marpole and several others. They had two automobiles with them on the train, from which they transferred to the SS Joan at Nanaimo, which immediately sailed for Comox. After having gone up the island as far as the Comox Valley, they intended taking the road back to Nanaimo in their autos. The automobiles caused quite a flutter of excitement, being the first seen in the coal city. Carrington Leader, August 19, 1905. Mr. Tasley, in an interview regarding the Salt Spring Island cable phone, thinks that business will be good over this line as soon as the fact is made known that the line is in good order, which he expects will be in a very short time now.